Okay, now you might want to open your Bible, if you have a Bible near, and follow along on certain portions of this message today to sort of keep me in line and to be able to easily understand in case I make a mistake. And I must admit I do make mistakes. However, empowered by the Word of God, we shall proceed. I just wanted to say before I get into the message that some time back I produced a sermon entitled The Power of the Weaker Vessel. The Power of the Weaker Vessel. A reference, of course, that was to the Christian wife and was not intended as a personal analogy of women in general, but rather to those who are a part of the body of Christ. Now, that message, the power of the weaker vessel, can be heard on this same website. Okay, now, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 9:22. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Of course, 1 and 2 Corinthians are very, very popular books in the Bible because that Paul introduces a lot of analogy concerning husband and wife, women in general, men in general, whatever, you know, you want to get from it. There's a lot to glean there. Anyway, in 1 Corinthians 9:22, the Apostle Paul writes, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Okay, let's have a pause here for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise and thank Thee, Lord, for this opportunity You've given me, Lord, to deliver this sermon today. I pray, Lord, You will give me wisdom and utterance, Lord, that those who hear it, Lord, might be able to understand and fully digest what is being said here. Not because of what I'm saying, Lord, but because of what You are laying on my heart, Lord, at this time. I pray, Lord, that in the end, the listener, Lord, will be lifted up, will be edified, and of course that our blessed Savior, Lord, will receive all the glory, for it's their word is richly deserved. In His name I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, now we just read a verse out of 1 Corinthians 9:22. I'll repeat it once more because it kind of sets the stage for where we're going here. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, Paul is not talking about him doing the saving. He's talking about him leading them, of course, to Jesus Christ. So one shouldn't misinterpret what Paul is saying there. Now, move over in the next book, 2 Corinthians, for our next verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 10. Paul continues here, of course. And Paul says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, did you hear that last phrase, "for Christ's sake"? For Christ's sake, that's very important. Now, I've been title my message today, "When you are weak, then are you strong." When you are weak, then are you strong. Okay? Now, my point today is that when a woman, and it's not all about women here, when a woman, regardless of her physical capabilities, employs the attributes that God has given her, as the weaker vessel, then, and only then, is the power of God upon her and using her for His glory. And this is when she is strong. This is when she's really strong. Okay? Now, nowadays, empowered by women's lib, of course, it's most difficult indeed for good Christian women to fully adhere to the weaker vessel calling. Who wants to go there? Who wants to read Proverbs 31? It's almost become obsolete to a lot of women, even Christian women. You know, they all want to punch men in the face, maybe, you know, and tell them to get out of their face, get get away from them, because they don't like to hear, especially preachers, and I must say there are very few of them that even preach on this subject today. But when they hear this in church, coming in a sermon that about the weaker vessel, they kind of shy away. And in fact, many of them won't even go to church today for fear of hearing something like this, being admonished. Okay? Now, they all want to just move away from the subject and just go and do what they believe is right, and that God will bless that. Well, God blesses His Word. You know, and He'll bless you as well if you adhere to His Word. But if you're going to change His Word, or if you're going to rebuke Him, if you're going to skip over His Word, then don't expect those blessings that you want or need so badly. Now, if I get into a wrestling match with my wife, naturally I don't want her to win. And I don't want her to want to win either. I want my wife or my woman to be a soft landing place when I come home from a 12-hour work shift. I also want her to pray with me every day on our knees. I want her to be the weaker vessel. Now, not because I want to have control over her. Please don't misunderstand that. I want her to be the weaker vessel according to the Word of God. For, now get this, for only when she's weak can I be strong. Now, today a lot of women, they want to, they want to be strong, as strong or stronger than their male counterpart. They don't want to be lacking in anything. Now, I'm not talking about wisdom. I mean, God be praised. Let the wisdom that's given to the man be given also in the same unto the woman. I'm not talking about one being smarter or more clever than the other. You must not interpret it in that way, because this is not what God meant. But when she is weak, then is she strong. Because most women today, they cannot, they do not have the muscular power to overcome most men. Of course, that seems to be changing a bit, because men are becoming more, weaker, I guess, taking on the role as a weaker vessel, at least physically. Now, here's an illustration. A lost puppy weeps at your door. You have the power to do whatever you will. You can give the dog a kick, chase him away, or you can lift him up in your loving arms and cater to him. Well, so it is with your husband. Not to say he's a wimp or a dog, although that trend is very evident today. Very evident today. So he broke your mother's favorite vase, or he came home late from work and the supper was cold. That same wife, that same woman of which the Word of God describes as the weaker vessel, the one who earlier took that little puppy to her bosom. My question is, should you not do likewise to the husband and the father of your children? For when you are weak, then you are strong. This is the power of the weaker vessel. When you are weak, then you are strong. You know, I opened today's sermon by reiterating the importance that God has placed within the power of the weaker vessel. Ladies, don't misunderstand that. There is nothing more valuable than the power you have when you show the weakness that God wants you to display to your mate. Now, there's nothing more powerful than that. Nothing. But you know, the power of the weaker vessel does not only apply to the woman, but also to society in general. Now, I'm not straying here, no. Stay with me. Keep your ears open. It also applies to society in general, in the home, in the workplace, in the public eye, wherever you may go, whatever you may be doing. The message you're hearing, I pray it will shed more light on the role of every member of your family, which it's intended to do. In no way do I now or have I ever considered myself a male chauvinist, nor do I place myself in any higher realm. I'm simply a man, a Christian man, who desires to follow Jesus Christ. And I'm a husband, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather twice over. So I guess you could say, well, I've been around the proverbial block a few times. Yes, I have. In other words, I may have seen it all. I may have. I bear no titles of divinity, and I ask for none. All I know about God and His family, and they're all taken from the King James Authorized Version of the Bible. You see, I only read one Bible. I don't compare this Bible with that Bible and say, well, it's more clearly defined if you turn over to this Bible. Or it's better stated, I believe, if you go to this Bible or to that Bible. God is not the author of confusion. Pick the King James. Stay with the King James. Yes, I'm a King James man. I was in the beginning and I will be at the end. But don't go comparing Bibles unless you're doing an analogy on Bibles for the sake of the one that you hold dear. But don't travel all over those roads. They're muddy. Okay, now I believe the King James to be, and I've said it many times in many of my sermons, I believe the King James 1611 Authorized Version, I believe it to be the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. I say that because I believe God has the power to keep it that way. A lot of people say, well, you can't rely too heavily on any Bible because, you know, they've all been rewritten so many times. Well, then you're saying God's a liar. You're saying that God has not preserved His Word. Well, take a look around. Has God preserved other things? Has He? To say God cannot or has not preserved His Word is to call Him an out-and-out liar. He has! And we have it. We have it. In the book of Proverbs 31, verse 3, the Word of God says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Why would God say this? Why would He say, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings? My friends, we're living in a world that has far exceeded the limitations of which God intended. In the beginning, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Why male and female? As if we didn't know. Two reasons. So that man would not be alone. and so that they may be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, when God made man, he made him in his own image. So what does that tell us? It tells us that God and man, if both could be seen with the naked eye, are structurally alike. So if you look at man, you get a perspective of what God is like. That's why when Jesus came, he came in the form of man. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay. Now this is further proven when Christ, as I said, who is God in the flesh, is seen upon the earth. Women also have many attributes of God, with, of course, some obvious differences. Let us break it down to grassroots level, where even children can understand the difference, okay? First, God made man. No problem, all right? He made him as a fully grown, God-like specimen in his own image. We okay there? All right. And when he created Eve, the first woman, he did it a little bit differently than when he made Adam. Now, he could have made Eve the same way out of the dirt of the ground. He could have made her any way he wanted to, from any way. I mean, God is not limited. God made Eve by taking a rib from Adam's side. And we all, even if you're not saved, you know that. Because that's the story, you know. I mean, there's songs written about it. Now, she was called woman. Woman, a derivative of man. Woman. All right? Are we okay so far? I hope so. Now, God never intended that man and woman should sin. However, being omniscient, as only God is, he knew that Eve, he knew this, would be the first human being to sin, having eaten the forbidden fruit. And don't say, well, she ate the apple. That's all you hear. Oh, yeah, Adam and Eve ate the apple in the garden. Because we don't know. The Bible doesn't say it was an apple. Could have been a peach, a pear, a plum, a pomegranate, an apple, an apricot, an orange, a cherry, a grape. A lot of things. Let's just leave it the forbidden fruit, okay? Now, he knew that Eve would be the first human. The first human to sin, having eaten the forbidden fruit. All right? Now, consequently, since sin entered in by the woman, this meant that Eve was in the transgression as a result, and also because it was God's intent, man would be the head of the woman. All right? That was God's intent. It wasn't mine, or your doctor, or your psychologist, or your preacher, or whatever. No, it was God's intent that man should be the head over the woman. Now, as you know, a number of changes have occurred over the centuries that are not in accordance with the Word of God. You'll see pictures and drawings of cavemen dragging their women around by the hair. They're nothing more than man's contrived images of his domination over women, who and are not intended to be published. This didn't help women's cause, you know, when people started making cartoons about cavemen dragging their woman around by the hair, I'll tell you that. I don't think you see them in print anymore today. You know, many women have excelled in their lives. Excelled. And not because they were physically stronger than men, but mostly because man allowed himself to become weaker than what God had intended. Now, hang on. Don't get fired up yet. I'm going somewhere with this. Just bear with me. You can accept that or not, but a woman's place, and this is really going to hurt you, a woman's place is in the home. Not as man, not as a man's slave, but as his mate, as a mother of his children, the keeper of his home, which is a job we don't always give much credit to. We think the person that's out making the money, that's the mainstay of the home. Well, maybe financially, but it's not the mainstay of the home when you're talking about growth in the eyes of God. As for intelligence, aside from the mentally challenged, I do believe that God played the role of equal opportunity employer. I do believe that. Now, before moving on, allow me to state emphatically, God did not create a third gender. No third gender. And where they do exist, or claim to exist, is a result of sin, either yours or another connected with you, or by God's permissive intervention concerning reasons we are not familiar with. In other words, God has not disclosed to us. A lot of people say, well, why was he born mentally challenged? Or why was she born physically corrupt? So forth and so on. Why would God allow that? God has his reasons. We should not question God. But that's what we spend most of our time doing. Why, God? Why would you allow this, God? If you're a merciful God, why would you allow this child to be born handicapped? God knows what he's doing. Okay? Now, many women... pardon me. Now, before moving on... allow me to clear my throat here. Before moving on, allow me to state emphatically, God did not. I'm repeating that line because it's so important. God did not create a third gender. Now, as I was saying, an example of this might be a birth deformity, limbs, blindness, deafness, or even an inability to learn. God's not an ogre. He's not some kind of monster. He allows what he allows for a reason. I cannot state that emphatically enough. Well, all that God does is for a reason. See, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows when your next breath is going to be taken. And, of course, the favorite one you hear from the pulpits, he knows every hair on your head. He has them all counted. He does. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. For sure, for sure. Did you know that because God made us in his image, both spiritually and physically, considering Christ, then we must also conclude that the soul of man desires to imitate the soul of God. However, since God decreed our oneness, he also allowed us to seek him out freely. To seek him out freely. The love that is ministered freely is said to be richer than a mountain of gold. That love which is ministered freely, richer than a mountain of gold. I agree with that. When that which of good report becomes a seed planted in God's garden, rest assured it will spring to life in God's workmen. Yeah. I will not build my sermon around the weaker vessel to show condemnation or ridicule in any way. You must understand that. However, I will borrow from Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. I will borrow from Revelation 2, 4. Nevertheless, said Jesus unto the church. The church at Ephesus we're talking about here. Quote, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Have you left your first love? Now, we're not talking about your husband, your mate. We're talking about God. God is saying this to the church at Ephesus. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Ladies of Christ, is Jesus not your first love? Is he not before all else? If so, then why have you taken the manhood of your husband and caused him to be grieved and weakened? Has God allowed you to take on his manhood and play his role in the home and in the workplace? Has he? Has God ordained you to be the breadwinner? Has not God given that role unto the man? More and more wives and mothers are hitting the workforce every day. Not only are they taking jobs away from the husbands, but more important, they are vacating the responsibility of a mother in the home. The most important job in life. A Christian mother in a Christian home. The result? Mom and dad identities. They become mixed and the children become confused. Why? Why? Because this is not the way God intended. Whether you realize it or not, you, mom, wife, you are a role model. Now realize this. God is not so cruel that he would allow no exceptions to his rule. God understands. Sometimes poor health and injury can produce what the world calls a Mr. Mum situation. I speak only to them who it applies to. There are times when extenuating circumstances may cause otherwise. You've got to understand that. Otherwise, the status quo continues. Today, well, with women's lib and rights playing a key role, the once strong male workforce is in rapid decline. Men are going down the proverbial tube, so to speak. And when the mom-dad roles are reversed, then God's agenda is threatened, allowing the devil free and easy access to the home. Again, I speak only to the abusers. This doesn't apply to those who are walking faithfully in the role God would have them in. What about the military? Oh, did God will that women should take up arms to foil the enemy? I think not. And the past will bear me out. Women called to labor in the factories on the home front while the men were on the battlefield. This was a crucial part of the great victories achieved. I understand, ladies, this cannot be applied to all women. And God is always full of mercy and understanding. Would God send a mentally challenged child to hell? No way. Would God send a child below the age of accountability to hell? A child that doesn't even understand who Jesus is? No way. Would God send a woman who is alone and must fend for herself to a fiery hell simply because she's forced to do the work of men to feed and keep her family? Not at all. Not if she's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not miss my point, ladies. Sometimes one must do that which is necessary to sustain life and family. And I'm not talking about running a brothel. So don't go off in another direction here. Listen well, lady. Listen well. If you're not saved, you're headed for a Christless hell no matter what. If you're not saved. If you are not a child of God, then you are a child of the devil. And the Bible's very clear on that. So don't give me any of your flack. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. There's only two types upon this earth. Those who belong to God and those who belong to the devil. It's time to stop crying, ladies. It's time to stop crying at the feet of Satan and men too, ladies and gents, and begin praying at the feet of God. What I'm doing here is trying to make you understand that which God has delegated unto men is delegated to men. That which is delegated unto women is delegated to women. Get the picture? God never meant them to be interchangeable. If you want to be a role model to your family, then be a role model first to God. The Bible clearly states that we are to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. If you're not saved, if you have not given your life over to Jesus, then naturally, you will not care at all about what I'm saying here. You won't care. As far as you're concerned, you're going in one of two directions. You're shooting for the gusto and you don't care who gets in your way. You'll simply run them down. My dear woman, this is the world's way. And who does the world belong to? It belongs to the devil. The other direction is the way of the Lord. Through faithful prayer and knowing and believing in your heart that God is in control and that He answers prayer. He does. But He does it in His way and in His time, not yours. Don't hand me that stuff about, well, I prayed this morning that God would pay my bills for me this afternoon. I mean, it's a wild example, but a lot of people go in that direction. If God doesn't deliver when they want Him to deliver, then, well, God's not there, or God's not listening, or God doesn't care. Wrong, wrong, wrong. God hears all the prayers of all His children. And He answers them in His way, in His time. And don't ever think otherwise. Just because you are a sook and don't get it done in your way, And in your time, don't blame it on God. Wait. I say, wait upon the Lord. The Word of God says we are to pray without ceasing. Do you just go to your knees and say, Lord, I need help here. I'm suffering here. Oh, Lord, please provide here. Only when you need them? Or do you go on your knees daily and say, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Please bless me and bless this day. And pray for others who are in dire need. If you believe and do this, then you will be able to tell your friends, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's true. The Bible says so, the Word of God says so, and you can. You see, this world is not your home, unless you're a child of the devil. And if you don't belong to Jesus, then you belong to the devil. There's no middle ground. You will do whatever he wants you to do. You know, a long time ago in North America, would you believe there were more Christians, fewer people, but more Christians, way back when, I don't know, but maybe in your great-grandfather's time, there were more Christians, but fewer people. Okay? Today, with over 7 billion people in the world, over 7 billion, Christianity, and I'm talking about true Christianity has become the most hated belief in the entire world. And it's getting worse. Jesus knew this would happen. This is why he pleaded with us to keep the faith. And remember, the world hated him before it hated you. If you're living the life of Riley and all you want seems to keep coming your way, then you're most likely to think you don't need God. Oh, I'm doing okay. I can make it. But if you're living the life of Christ, then all that you want from this world, all that you want from this world will never come your way. But all that you need can be yours through prayer and supplication. God is a God of blessing and giving. I can testify to that. You see, God knows what you need before you even ask. God is the great provider. He's also the great physician. God loves us so much. Not only did he send his only begotten Son to bleed and die on Calvary's cross for our sins, but he walks. He walks us through every day and watches over us by night. And talks to our hearts and gives us comfort and direction. God is faithful. God never goes back on his word. But he has a condition to all that he says and does. I've already mentioned his number one condition. Give your life over to Christ. Give your life over. That's the number one condition God has if you want him to answer prayer or even listen to you pray. Give your life over to Christ. He'll keep you. On the other hand, when Satan takes you into his fold, he uses you. And when he's finished using you, he casts you aside like a piece of rubble. Ladies, why? Why do so many of you avoid reading Proverbs 31? I see it all the time. I hear it almost daily. Nobody can be like the woman in Proverbs 31. Then you're saying God is asking too much from you. The Bible says He will never give you more than you can handle. When you think the standards God sets for you are too high, then realize, first of all, God is perfect. Perfect in all His ways and everything He does. He knows your limitations. He knows your strengths, your weaknesses. Excuse me. Does God say anywhere in the Scriptures, you must be perfect? No. He says, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. Only God is perfect. Listen carefully. Please listen carefully. What God wants is the best you can give Him. No more. He knows when you're doing your best. Want to make God smile? Believe in the gospel of His Son. Then trust and obey. Does the Word of God say to excel and then I will help? I don't think so. Because the best we can do on our own can never measure up to that of a holy and righteous God. Never. In fact, it can't even come close. Well, what then is God really saying to us, you ask? He's saying, come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying, they that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He's saying, I am the Lord your God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. I am God. So, I hear you say, but I want to be a good wife. I want to be a good mother. I want to be a good Christian. Say it now. Say it to God who's able to do all things. When you pray consistently to God and ask for these, surely His ears will be unstopped and He will incline them to you. If this is truly your desire, then lean not on your own understanding. Not only is this for the women, but for the men also. Am I saying trust in the Lord and all your troubles are over? Nope. Did God say trust in me and everything will run smoothly? Nope. But He did say He will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good enough? The future of man is an open book. And that book is the Word of God. Believe in it. Live it. And God will do the rest. As time goes by, well, fewer and fewer people are giving their lives to Christ. I know of three reasons why. And I'm going to give them to you. I know why so many will not choose Christ. There are three basic reasons. Listen carefully. You might want to write them down. Number one, they're afraid they will have to sacrifice too much. They're afraid they will have to sacrifice too much. Number two, they're afraid what friends and relatives might say. They're afraid what friends and relatives might say. Number three, they prayed to God in their lost estate before they got saved, and God ignored them. They prayed to God in their lost estate, and God ignored them. Now, let's examine each briefly, okay? Number one. Today, many will not come to Christ because they fear separation from their friends and relatives. When you try to lead a lost soul to Christ, try to recall what it was like for you when you were faced with having to make sacrifices and changes. Try to remember that. You know, I was very young when I had my first encounter with the issue of salvation, being born again. I was 16 years old when I met a girl in Halifax while I was waiting to go into the army. We dated several times. Then one day she took me to a third-story revival meeting. Pentecostal it was. I didn't even know what that was. Mostly colored folk, older folk. Well, there was wailing and flailing and weeping. It just sent the shivers up my spine. And before you could say, born again, I was clippity-clopping down three flights of creakety wooden steps till I hit the sidewalk. Ooh-wee! Likely scared me half to death, it did. Now, as I recall, them third-story holy rollers was chanting scary things like, no more hard liquor, take it away, Jesus. No more Playboy books and 8mm girly flicks. Take it away, Lord Jesus. No more hanging out with the devil's crowd at the local pool hall. Take it away, Lord Jesus. No more vanilla extract in my tea. No, sir. Take it away, Lord Jesus. Whew. I went up there figuring the preacher would scare the devil out of me. I came down from there having the daylight scared out of me. It felt comforting at that time to be a Catholic. Now, the second reason why many folks will not come to the Lord Jesus is because they're afraid of what friends and relatives might say. They're afraid of what friends and relatives might say. You know, when I finally did get saved some years later, after 10 years of army life, drinking and girl chasing, all that stuff, well, it was a radical conversion for me with plenty of tears and dumbfoundedness. It's all in my bio. First thing the Lord did was march me out of the Catholic Church and move me away from hundreds, even thousands of idol worshippers and child abusers. Then he set my feet inside a small, independent Baptist church where the Lord was the chief cornerstone. Mm-hmm. Things happened pretty fast from there on. Before I could say Will Robinson, I lost the desire to smoke and partake of the devil's juice. Any cussing that was left in me, the Holy Spirit gave that the boot. Yes, sir. I was having a spiritual makeover. And it was all brand new. Brand new. But the worst of the best was yet to come. All my so-called friends, I say so-called friends, especially Catholics, well, they just called me a few unfriendly names, told me I was crazy, and walked away shaking their empty heads. If only they knew. I shouted to their backsides as they made their exit, "You gotta get saved! Jesus Christ died for you! He loves you!" Gone in the wind. They was gone. but I wasn't alone. Got me a new friend now, a true friend. His name is Jesus. Well, let us move on to our final reason why many will not come to the Lord Jesus. Reason number three. The first one was fear of separation from friends and relatives. The second was fear of what friends and relatives might say. Now, number three, why people will not come to the Lord Jesus, the reason why, is because they prayed in their lost estate and God ignored them. Okay? Now, how many of y'all know that God can't look upon sin? I suppose you all know this anyway. The reason for the 3 hours of darkness at the crucifixion. The Lord God could not look upon his own son breathing his last because he had the sin of the whole world on him. You see, when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, his blood, which was shed for us, blots out all our sins. Only then can God the Father look upon us. Because he doesn't see the sin anymore. It's under the blood. All he sees is the cleansing blood of his own son. Isn't that wonderful? It's there for you too, if you're not saved. I run into it almost every day, especially with family. Always lamenting about born again. Why God never listens to their prayers. They say cruel things like, how do you expect me to believe in a God who allows all this suffering and kids starving and fighting and killing? And he never answers my prayers. Not like I was asking for a mansion or a mountain. Just some little thing. Like let me win the lottery. Just $50 or $100 even. Just so I'll know you're listening, God. That's not too much to ask. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If you need proof that God is real, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, don't tempt him. Don't try him. Don't test him. Just believe. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and nothing happened. How do you expect me to believe? The same way all Christians believe. By faith. Faith. It can move mountains. In conclusion, I don't want you to think I'm picking on you, ladies. I'm sorry if you do. You see, God asked me to prepare this sermon. And not to be afraid what people might think. If these things weren't in the Holy Book of God, folks, I wouldn't say them. God loves you so much. He loves all his children. He even loves those who haven't come to him yet through his son, Jesus. But you have to understand, he can't help you with your problems until you give your life completely over to him. And I'm going to leave you with that. Trust in what I say, folks. I've been on both sides. And I guarantee you, the side the Lord's on is the best side. God bless. And amen. Amen.